Welcome to the AES Journal podcast for November. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. We've published 7 research papers in this edition on topics ranging from speech codecs to the emotional characteristics of sound. You'll also find a comprehensive report on our recent virtual reality conference and a feature on headphone technology. Opening the research papers section, Faten Ben Ali and her colleagues describe a speech codec based on a long-term harmonics plus noise model. The approach is possible because of the relatively slow evolution of the spectrum resulting from vocal tract changes in speech. This offers additional compression possibilities, but the delay is longer than for short-term models. The resulting coder delivers a bitrate of 2.7 kilobits per second for wideband speech. Andrew Horner's research group from Hong Kong University of Science and Technology has 2 papers in this issue on a theme developed by them in numerous ways over the past few years. The emotional characteristics of musical sounds are explored, in this case considering the effects of MP3 compression and the pitch and dynamics of piano sounds. In the first of these, they find that MP3 compression weakened positive emotional responses and strengthened neutral and negative ones, with some instruments being affected more than others. Considering piano sounds, they find a range of relationships between pitch or dynamics and emotional descriptors, most of which are not particularly surprising, except that the happy attribute was not affected by dynamics. In a paper on the application of Lebedev grids to ambisonics, Pierre Lecomte and his co-researchers experiment with different encoding and decoding configurations. Spatial aliasing artifacts are particularly analyzed. They conclude that a combination of low-order decoder for lower frequencies and higher-order for high frequencies can be used to reproduce a wideband sound field accurately at the sweet spot. Ramona Baumhart and her colleagues go on to explain how an ellipsoidal model of interaural time differences based on human measurement data can be used to add individual characteristics to head-related impulse responses. Such a model, it was found, underestimates the interaural time difference, but the errors were below the just noticeable difference. Such a model, it was found, underestimates the interaural time differences, but the errors were below the just noticeable difference. An advantage over other models, though, is that this one calculates both azimuth and elevation effects. There's a second paper on the estimation of head-related transfer functions, this one by Sekitosh Tanai and his colleagues from Japan. In this case, a new fast measurement technique is proposed and a model created that can approximate directional impulse responses to within 1 dB using a 128th order FIR filter. In our feature last month, we reported on the latest research into sound zone technology, and in this month's issue, there's a paper by Ferdinando Oliveri and his colleagues that compares 2 methods for doing just this using compact arrays of loudspeakers. It turned out that the weighted pressure matching method offered the best trade-offs of the two between accuracy in the bright zone and directivity performance. Moving to the back section of the November journal, we report on the highly successful conference on audio for virtual and augmented reality, which was held in conjunction with the 141st Convention. Find out about the explosive growth of this technology and its implication for the industry, along with a summary of the many presentations. We'll be writing about some of these in more detail in future issues. Earlier last summer, there was another extremely popular conference on headphone technology held in Denmark, and this month's journal includes a feature that looks into aspects of perception, personalization, and preference. Headphones are almost certainly now the dominant means by which many people listen to reproduced sound, but the quality of the devices used is often remarkably low, and there is a very wide range of frequency responses represented. The need for a new preferred target curve has been suggested, and we find that there is continued debate about whether consumer preference trumps objective accuracy. Planning ahead for next year's events, at the end of August, there is to be a third AES conference on sound reinforcement, this one concentrating on open-air events. The call for contributions has just been launched, so if you're working in this field, it's time now to start thinking about what you might offer to the program committee. You'll find all this, plus book reviews, product news, and section reports in the November issue of the AES Journal. Download the issue today at www.aes.org. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.